بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى سيدنا ومولانا الإمام موسى بن جعفر الكاظم صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight is the eve of the 25th of the month of Rajab, the anniversary of the martyrdom of the 7th Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim, Babu al-Hawa'ij, alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam al-Kadhim, who's buried in Baghdad with his grandson Imam Muhammad al-Jawad alayhi salam, in the city of Al-Kadhimiyyah, and both of them are known as Al-Kadhimain. He's the son of Imam Muhammad, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam al-Sadiq had about 10 children, 7 males and 3 females. Imam Musa alayhi salam was not the oldest one. The oldest one was Abdullah, which came to be known later on as Abdullah al-Aftah. And then there was Ismail, the son of Imam al-Sadiq, who died during the life of his father. But Imam al-Kadhim inherited, by the divine order, inherited the imamah and the leadership, this universal leadership, from his father, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. He was born in a village outside Medina. The village's name is Al-Abwa, and he was poisoned and murdered in Baghdad in the year 183 Hijri. His mother is Hamida al-Andalusiyya. Apparently, she was born and raised in Andalusia, southern Spain. And she was brought to Medina somehow as a slave. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam purchased her and freed her. He made her free, and then he gave her to his son Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq married her, and this is a beautiful gesture by our imams. Our imams would marry from the common people, and that's a lesson for us, because we don't have to look always at people's ancestry, at people's blood, at people's family tree. Somehow we can find comfort and happiness with the common people, with people who used to be slaves before. And this is exactly what Imam al-Sadiq did. After he married her, historians say, فَعَلَّمَهَا وَرَبَّاهَا حَتَّى صَارَتْ عَالِمَةً فَقِيهَةً مُرَبِّيَةً. He spent time on refining her, refining his wife, Hamida. He himself took care of her. Imam al-Sadiq was teaching her, refining her, nurturing her, teaching her the true principles of Islam and faith, until she became a scholar. She became a jurist, faqiha. Faqih is a jurist, is someone who is expert in Islamic jurisprudence, Islamic law. Murabbiya. And then she herself became a nurturer. Ahida ilayha al-imam. And he asked her to, he assigned her the task, بتعليم النساء وإرشادهن إلى أحكام الإسلام. Imam al-Sadiq asked his wife, after teaching her the principles of faith and religion and Sharia, now it is your turn to go about and educate and teach other women. What a beautiful thing to do. What a beautiful process when someone is learning and then he or she would not keep this knowledge for himself, but he passes this knowledge to others. He or she would pass this knowledge to others. They would not keep it to themselves. And then Hamida gave birth to Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And Imam Musa al-Kadhim was a special son. And see what his father says about him. This is the testimony of his father regarding the son. Imam al-Sadiq says to his son Musa alayhi salam, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'alaka khalafan min al-aba. Praise to God who made you a successor to my ancestors, to my forefathers. Meaning that I see in you the legacy of my ancestors. You are going to continue the path, the legacy, the message of my ancestors. وَسُرُورًا مِنَ الْأَبْنَاءِ. And a comfort for my eyes. A source of peace, a source of happiness among my children. وَعِوَضًا عَنِ الْأَصْدِقَاءِ. And a substitute for friends. Meaning that if I have such a son, I really don't need any friends because you are my closest friend. And these traits has to be found in our children if we raise them well. Imam al-Kadhim's titles, among them is Babul Hawa'ij, the gate for the needs. Whoever turned to him during his lifetime, whoever turns to Imam al-Kadhim for any type of need, spiritual, emotional, physical, material, Imam alayhi salam would fulfill his need to the extent that it was said about him, عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ. Someone said about Imam, اشْتَهَرَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ عَجَبًا لِمَنْ جَاءَتْهُ. It was common during people of that time. عَجَبًا لِمَنْ جَاءَتْهُ صُرَّةُ مُوسَى فَشَكَ الْقِلَّةِ. I would be surprised if someone receives a gift. The surah means a place, the parcel where you put the money in it. It used to be called surah. And Imam Musa al-Kadhim will give this surah, this parcel, to people who are in need. So it was common in the society that it would be very surprising if someone receives this gift from Imam al-Kadhim and later on would really complain about poverty. It means when Imam gives, he gives with full generosity. He will enrich people. People would not go from his door and they are still in need. Babul Hawa'ij. And today we need to knock at this door and say, Ya Bab al-Hawaj, Ya Musa ibn Ja'far. We do tawassul. God presented Ahlul Bayt. God presented the Prophet and his family for us, for guidance and for tawassul. So we knock at their door, because they have a special path that expedites your petition to God, expedites your cause to God. And today, during this time of difficulties, very trying time that the entire world is experiencing, and some countries declared that we can't do anything more. Some European countries, no more material elements. We reached our full capacity. We have to knock at the door of God. Through these gates, the gates of our imams, and one of them is the imam of tonight, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And the other title of the imam is Al-Kadhim. He would restrain, repel, and control his anger. Kadhim al-Ghayd, wal-Kadhimin al-Ghayd, it comes from the Quran. Wal-Afina an-Nas, Wallahu yuhibbu al-Muhsineen. He would restrain his anger. And Al-Abdu al-Salih, because he used to spend his time in teaching people, refining people, and refining himself through ibadah. Even when he spent almost 11 years in the prisons between Basra and Baghdad by the order of Al-Harun al-Abbasi and before Harun al-Mahdi al-Abbasi, Al-Hadi and Al-Mahdi, the Abbasite. But especially during the time of the Harun, the Abbasite Caliph, he was exiled from Medina to Basra for some time in the prison of Isa ibn Ja'far, and then he was taken to Baghdad to the prison of Al-Fadl ibn Yahya, and then the last prison, and Al-Fadl ibn Rabi', and then the last prisoner, the fourth one, As-Sindi ibn Shahik. Some historians say 7 years, some historians say it was altogether 11 years. During these years, Imam salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi would spend his time in the cell. Number one, teaching his disciples. Those who come to visit him, check on him, Imam will pass wisdom and knowledge and ma'arif, the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, to them. He would not quit under difficult circumstances. Under harsh circumstances, our imams would continue their message, their duty of educating, enlightening, teaching people. So he would teach, and part of his time is prostration and sujood. In one of the instances, when he was in the prison of Yahya, he said to him, a person came to see, he was in the prison of Al-Fadl ibn Rabi'. So someone says, this is in Baghdad. So someone says, I went inside the jail in the courtyard, and Fadl ibn Rabi', who was the jailer, he was the prison guard, the main prison guard, he said to me, what do you see in the courtyard? He said, yes, I see a dress thrown on the ground. He said, no, Hada Musa ibn Ja'far. The jailer is saying about him, Min Ruhbani Bani Hashim. He is one of the important monastics of the family of Hashim, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he concludes his Fajr prayers, he goes into prostration until Dhuhr. When he finishes the Asr, he goes into prostration until Maghrib. This is what he does inside this prison. يصلي لياليه يصوم نهاره فديتك نفسي من مصل وصائم. During the days he's fasting, during the nights he's praying. During that time, the treatment of Bani al-Abbas, the Abbaside dynasty, to Ahlul Bayt deteriorated. It became very worse. Though they came to power with the slogan of helping Ahlul Bayt, supporting Ahlul Bayt, being on the side of Ahlul Bayt. But when they grabbed power, unfortunately, they forgot their promise. They turned against Ahlul Bayt. They persecuted Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. Imagine Al-Mansur al-Dawaniqi, the second Abbasite caliph, poisoned Imam al-Sadiq and killed him. Harun poisoned Imam al-Kalim and he murdered him. Ma'mun poisoned Imam al-Ridha and murdered him. And many others too, not just these three imams. Most of them were poisoned during that by the Abbasite. And the pressure on the imams and Ahlul Bayt intensified to the extent that Imam al-Sadiq, before his martyrdom, he could not publicly declare the name of his successor, which is Imam Musa al-Kadhim. He couldn't. He mentioned it only لأقرب الخواص, to those who are very close to him, to his confidant. He mentioned the name of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And of course, Mansur al-Abbasi, he played a major role to disperse the Shia, the followers of Ahlul Bayt. He didn't want, because he murdered Imam al-Sadiq, and he did not want for the Imamah to succeed after him to his children, to Imam Musa al-Kadhim. So he did everything he could to disperse the Shia, to confuse the Shia about the concept of the Imamah, to confuse them about who's going to succeed Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced a lot of harassment, a lot of persecution by the Abbasites and their elements in Medina, in Baghdad, and elsewhere. On the one hand, the Abbaside political establishment will threaten the school of Ahlul Bayt, the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marginalize them, keep them away from the masses, keep them under house arrest. On the other hand, they promote other traditions, other schools, other imams, Muslims and non-Muslims. They had a freedom during that time. Some historians refer to that time as the Golden Age. Golden Age because the Roman, the Greek, the Persian, the other philosophies flourished, and books were translated from other languages to Arabic. Baghdad became the capital of knowledge. Philosophers, scholars, theologians, jurists. Some of them were atheists, some of them were agnostics, some of them were non-Muslims. They flourished. But the only school that was under pressure and persecution was the school of Ahlul Bayt. They had no right to express themselves. They had no right to disseminate the knowledge of their grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone had a freedom at that time, except the children of the Prophet, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Harun one day comes to Medina, from Baghdad to Medina, and he turns to the grave of the Prophet and says, "Ya Rasulullah, I apologize to you for incarcerating your grandson, Musa ibn Ja'far." Can you imagine? He apologizes to the Prophet for incarcerating and persecuting the grandson of the Prophet, because your grandson is a troublemaker. He calls him a troublemaker. Whereas Ahlul Bayt were the model of peace, the model of unity, the model of reconciliation, the model of knowledge, the model of wisdom, the model of discipline, the model of organization, the model of strength to the community, to the whole country. But they are called the troublemakers because they pursue justice and the truth. And this is what tyrants do not like. Even nowadays, when you speak the truth in many Muslim countries and non-Muslim countries, if you speak the truth, you are a troublemaker. You are agitator. But if you speak good about the political establishment, if you support them, then you are a good citizen. بنو علي رعايا في ديارهم والأمر يملكه أبو فراس الحمداني, one of the greatest poets in the history of Islam and in the history of the Arabs, has قصيدة, poetry, powerful poetry. And he lived during that time, Abu Firas al-Hamdani, rahmatullahi alayh. He speaks about how Ahlul Bayt suffered. The pious ones, the righteous ones are suffering, but the enemies of God, the corrupts, are enjoying their life under the government of the Abbasid establishment. And he begins his poetry with this: الحق مهتضم والدين مخترم وفيء آل رسول الله مقتسم. الحق مهتضم, حق and truth is suffering. والدين مخترم, religion has been pierced, has been screwed by Bani العباس. بنو علي رعايا في ديارهم والأمر تملكه النسوان والخدم. The family of the Prophet are incarcerated in their homes. They cannot leave their homes. Whereas in the palaces, who is running the government? Who is running the affairs of the Muslims? Are the dancers, are the women. Women who are entertaining the caliph are running the affairs. He would listen to those women, but on the other hand, he incarcerates the family of the Prophet. محلؤون فأصفى شربهم وشل عند الورود وأوفى وردهم لمم فالأرض إلا على ملاكها سعة والمال إلا على أربابه ديم. You can walk in the land, you can use your money, it's okay. But the people who, the real owners of this land, which is Muhammad and Al Muhammad, they are under control, they cannot move. And money is banned from them. They can't reach out to money. لا يطغين بني العباس ملكهم بنو علي مواليهم وإن زعموا أتفخرون عليهم لا أبا لكم. Do you brag, O Bani al-Abbas, do you brag in front of the family of the Prophet? حتى كأن رسول الله جدكم, as if the Prophet is your grandfather. But the Prophet is not your grandfather, he's their grandfather. وما توازن يوما بينكم شرف ولا تساوت لكم في موطن قدم. You are not equal to the Prophet and his family. You are not. لا بيعة ردعتكم عن دمائهم ولا يمين ولا قربى ولا ذمم كم غدرة لكم في الدين واضحة وكم دم لرسول الله عندكم. How much blood of the family of the Prophet is on your hands? How many of them you murdered? كم غدرة لكم في الدين? How many times you betrayed God and the Prophet and religion? كم غدرة لكم في الدين واضحة وكم دم لرسول الله عندكم. ليس الرشيد كموسى في القياس ولا مأمونكم كالرضا إن أنصف الحكم. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim is different from your tyrant Harun, which you call him Rashid. Neither Imam al-Rida alayhi salam is equal to your tyrant, the Ma'mun. They are purified. Those family are purified. إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. In conclusion, my friends, my brothers and sisters, Ali ibn Suwayd, one of the pious companions of the seventh Imam, Imam al-Kadhim, he said, I had a chance to go inside the prison of As-Sindi ibn Shahik, which was a terrible, very notorious place. This prison was very notorious, to the extent that the Imam in his sujood, in his prostration, he would say, Ya Mukhallis al-Laban min bayni farthin, Ya Mukhallis al-Shajar min bayni ma'in watin. O Lord, the deliverer of the vegetation from among water and soil. Ya Mukhallis al-Laban min bayni farthin wadam. O Lord, the deliverer of the milk from the blood. Ya Mukhallis al-Tifli min bayni rahimin wa mashima. O the Lord, who delivers the baby from among the womb and the placenta. Deliver me, khallasni min sijni Harun. Deliver me from the incarceration of Harun al-Abbasi. As-salamu ala al-mu'adhabi fi qa'ar al-sujoon wa dhulam al-matamir. Our salam, our greetings to the Imam who has been tortured in the depth of the prisons and the dark cells. This saqi al-mardudhi bihalaq al-quyood, whose legs have been fractured by the handcuffing of the chains in the prison. وَالْجَنَازَةِ الْمُنَادَى عَلَيْهَا بِدُلِّ الْإِسْتِخْفَافِ. And when he died inside the prison, the coffin was taken out and it was attacked and maligned by slurs and insults. Ali ibn Suwayd says, I went inside the prison and I said to the Imam, Ya ibn Rasulullah, لَقَدْ ضَاقَتْ صُدُورُنَا. Our patience run out. مَتَى الْفَرَجْ. When is the salvation? When you are going to be released from the prison? Your followers are waiting. It has been so many years you are in this cell. Imam Musa tells him, Ya Ali, al-faraj qareeb. It's imminent. No worries. It's imminent. انتظروني الجمعة على الجسر من بغداد. You will see me on a Friday at the bridge of Baghdad, the bridge of Rasafa that connects the two sides of Baghdad. So he says, I left the prison. I came to my friends' homes. I knocked at their doors and I secretly told them, I have good news for you. Our Imam is going to be released soon. He said, this coming Friday. So they were happy that their leader at the end is coming back. They are going to have reunion with him. So we all gathered, the followers of Ahlul Bayt in the city of Baghdad. We gathered at the bridge of Baghdad. All of a sudden, on a Friday, we saw a janazah, a coffin, being carried by four porters. They brought this janazah of the Imam and they left it on the bridge and they started yelling and shouting, Hada Imam al-Rafidah. This is the Imam of the Rafidah, the rejectors. وَضَعُوا عَلَى جِسْرِ الرِّصَافَةِ نَعْشَهُ وَعَلَيْهِ نَادَى بِالْهَوَانِ مُنَادِي إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. 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 يَا اللَّهُ. Oh Allah, listen to our du'as. Oh Allah, we are sinners. We know we are sinners. But your mercy is bigger than our sins. Allahumma inna maghfirataka arja min amali. your forgiveness is more promising than my deeds. Your mercy is bigger than my sin. O Allah, forgive our sins. رَبَّنَا اكْشِفْ عَنَّا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ رَبَّنَا اكْشِفْ عَنَّا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ O Allah, we have only your door is open. Other doors are shut. Many cities have curfew. People cannot leave their homes. People are terrified. But Ya Allah, we come back to you. We resort back to you. Your door is open. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ O Allah, we are sinners. But you promised us when we come back to you with a pure intention, you will forgive our sins, protect our children, protect our families, protect our community, protect our countries, protect mankind. This virus is spreading everywhere. Governments are tired. Armies are tired. They cannot combat this disease, this virus. But God, you are the superpower. We come back to you to protect us, to help us, to keep us healthy, to keep this virus away from us, away from our cities, our countries, our towns, our communities, our homes. O Allah, this is an opportunity for us to come back to you, to deepen our relationship with you. O Allah, don't reject us. O Allah, accept our dua, accept our maghfirah. رَبَّنَا اكْشِفْ عَنَّا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى سَيْدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ